This audiobook invites you back to that remembering where miracles don't happen, they are inevitable. The Sacred Law of Creation. Introduction. This audiobook reveals a truth as ancient as Genesis and as present as your next breath. Life does not respond to what you want. It responds to who you are. From the whispering winds of the desert prophets to the parables of Christ, the hidden wisdom of reality has always pointed to the same truth. You are not separate from the source. You are made in its image. And that image is not physical, but vibrational. The source law is not a New Age invention. It is the same eternal law spoken of in the scriptures. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It is the divine intelligence that animates all of creation. And it does not respond to begging. It responds to being. It reflects not your prayers alone, but the spiritual posture from which you pray. This book is not here to give you new information. It is here to awaken your remembrance. You already know this truth in your spirit. The sacred law of creation is the living breath of God, moving through you, for you, as you. Chapter 1. The field that remembers who you are. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. There is an unseen field surrounding you, closer than breath, older than time. It doesn't judge. It doesn't forget. It simply reflects. What you bring into this field, your thoughts, emotions, intentions, returns to you, shaped as reality. You may call it God, the divine, the quantum field, or the kingdom within. It goes by many names across traditions, but its nature is the same. It is responsive, not to your words, but to your being. This is the sacred code of creation. The ancient prophets called it faith. The mystics described it as oneness. And today, modern science begins to catch up, whispering the same truth through the language of quantum physics, that all things exist in an interconnected web of possibility, waiting to collapse into form through observation and intention. Dr. David Bohm, a theoretical physicist and pioneer of quantum theory, proposed the existence of an implicate order, a deeper layer of reality that gives rise to everything in the visible world. What you see as solid and fixed is simply a temporary expression of a much vaster intelligence responding to the patterns within your consciousness. You are not separate from it. You are in it, and it is in you. Imagine walking into a room of mirrors, every angle, every reflection, showing you not just how you look, but what you believe, what you expect, and who you assume yourself to be. That's the field. It doesn't respond to effort. It responds to frequency. And your frequency is determined not by your words, but by your state of being. This means reality is not happening to you. It's happening through you. And if that feels like a stretch, pause. Because your own biology is already proving this. Neuroscientists have shown that when you focus on a belief long enough, especially when paired with elevated emotions like gratitude or certainty, the neurons in your brain fire and wire together. Eventually, they form a neural signature so strong that the body begins to respond as if the desired reality has already happened. Your chemistry shifts. Your heart rate synchronizes with your breath. Your immune system strengthens. And most importantly, your brain starts filtering the world to match that internal expectation. This is not imagination. It's neuroplasticity. The brain becomes a broadcasting tower, and the heart, the amplifier. Research from the HeartMath Institute reveals that the human heart generates an electromagnetic field many times more powerful than that of the brain. When you bring thought and feeling into harmony, when you believe what you declare, you broadcast a signal into the field that reshapes the very fabric of what's possible. This is how miracles happen, not because heaven intervenes, but because heaven has been woven into the laws of nature from the beginning. Scripture affirms this when it says, "The kingdom of God is within you. It's not far, it's not reserved, it's here, now, and it moves at the speed of your belief." But here's the tension. Most people walk through life unaware of the code they're broadcasting. They say they want abundance, yet vibrate with fear. They ask for love, but believe they're unworthy. The field does not respond to contradiction. It reflects coherence. You are not punished for your disbelief, but the field can only echo what you bring into it. And so the first step in unlocking the sacred code is remembering. You are not a beggar in this world. You are an architect, a scribe of reality, a living vessel of divine intelligence, encoded with the authority to shape, speak, and send commands into creation. But to activate this, you must move from unconscious reaction to conscious alignment. This is not about positive thinking. It's about truthful being. To step into your creative power is to take radical ownership of your inner world, not to control the outer world, but to align yourself with the deepest frequency of truth within you. That's where the code lives. That's what the field responds to. Let's go deeper. In the quantum world, particles exist in a state of pure potential, a soup of probabilities, until observed. Once observed, they collapse into form. This is known as the observer effect. But what's rarely talked about is who the observer is. It's not the physical eyes, it's the consciousness behind the eyes, which means every time you focus your awareness, every time you choose to believe a new story, feel a new emotion, or visualize a new outcome, you are collapsing probability into presence. You're creating not with force, but with focus. And if you've ever wondered why some people seem to live lives of continuous grace, where doors open, opportunities appear, and timing feels divinely orchestrated, it's not because they're lucky. It's because they've mastered coherence. Their inner world is synchronized with what they desire, and the field has no choice but to respond. So here is the truth you were never taught in school. The universe doesn't give you what you want. It gives you what you are. And what you are is remembered not in your mind, but in the field, in the vibration of your emotions, in the consistency of your focus, in the clarity of your heart's signal. Creation is not about trying harder. It's about remembering deeper. In the chapters ahead, we will explore how to shape intention with precision, how to bring your nervous system into alignment with your desires, and how ancient teachings, both spiritual and scientific, reveal a unified law that governs all manifestation. But for now, sit with this. You are not separate from the sacred. You are not broken nor forgotten. You are the echo of the word spoken at the beginning of time, still resonating, still creating. You are the field. You are the code. You are the key. Chapter 2. The Art of Commanding with Intention. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Every day, whether you're aware of it or not, you are sending commands into the invisible, thoughts laced with longing, words flung into silence, emotions that rise and fall like tides. These are not meaningless, they are signals, encoded instructions projected into the field of creation. But here's the truth many overlook. The universe does not respond to casual wanting. It responds to intentional being. The field of infinite potential, the same field quantum physics confirms exists beyond time and space, does not operate on language, logic, or effort. It operates on frequency, on coherence, on emotional and energetic clarity. Intentions, then, are more than goals. They are spiritual coordinates, blueprints. They are the invisible scaffolding upon which reality is built. And like any blueprint, their power depends not only on their design, but on the precision with which they're drawn. That's why vague intentions produce vague results. Saying, "I want a better life," is like sending a letter without an address. The message goes nowhere. But when you declare, "I am healthy, whole, and overflowing with life," you speak from alignment. You give the field a clear command, and it listens. Let's explore what science says about this. Neuroscience has shown that the reticular activating system, a cluster of neurons in the brainstem, acts as a filter, letting in information that matches what you are focusing on. When you set a clear intention, this filter begins seeking evidence of it. Your brain literally tunes reality to match your dominant signal. It's not magic, it's biology aligned with consciousness. But it gets deeper. Dr. Joe Dispenza's research into brain-heart coherence reveals that when a person holds a clear intention in the mind and sustains it with elevated emotion like gratitude, joy, or love, their body begins to emit a coherent electromagnetic signal. This signal becomes a broadcast that communicates with the quantum field. Think of it like this. Your mind sets the intention and your heart powers the transmission. If the two are misaligned, if you say, "I am abundant," but internally feel afraid or doubtful, your signal becomes incoherent. And so the field responds with static. This is why so many prayers go unanswered. It's not that God isn't listening. It's that you're broadcasting one thing while embodying another. The ancient teachings knew this. The words of Jesus were not metaphor when he said, "Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." That's not religious rhetoric. That's a spiritual technology. He was instructing you to become the frequency of fulfillment before the evidence appears. That's what intention truly is. Not a wish, but a decision. A sacred choice to become the outcome in advance. So how do you craft an intention that the field will honor? 1. Be specific and personal. Vagueness weakens signal strength. Instead of "I want more peace," declare, "I wake each day grounded in divine peace and speak calmly no matter the storm." Make it yours. Make it real. 2. Use present tense. You are not placing a cosmic order for the future. You are aligning with the now. Speak as if it's already unfolding. "I am, not I hope to be." 3. Infuse emotion. Emotion is energy in motion. It's the amplifier. The field doesn't just read your words. It feels your conviction. If you don't believe it, neither will the field. 4. Make it aligned with truth. If you set intentions that don't resonate with your inner values, the field will read it as falsehood. Integrity matters, not just moral integrity, but energetic integrity. Your intention must feel right in your bones. 5. Repeat and refine with reverence. This isn't about forcing the intention or obsessing over it. It's about returning to it daily. Let it become a prayer you live, not just speak. With each repetition, ask, "Is this still true for me?" If not, adjust it. Your revolution should refine your commands. Now pause. Think about what you've been asking for lately, not just with your words, but with your energy. Have you been broadcasting clarity or confusion, trust or fear? The sacred code of creation is impartial. It reflects you exactly as you are. If you set an intention from scarcity, the field hears, "I lack." If you set it from presence, it hears, "I am." You're not trying to manipulate the universe. You're remembering your role as a co-creator. Even modern theology supports this. The Apostle Paul wrote, "God calls into existence the things that do not exist." That's not metaphor, it's the practice of intention, calling it in, not begging, not forcing, declaring. And so you must ask yourself, not merely what you desire, but who you must become to hold it, to live it, to sustain it. Because the field is not just listening to what you say, it's listening to what you are. Speak from your center. Write your intentions like scripture etched into stone, and speak them not to be heard, but because they are true. That is how creation begins. Chapter 3. When thought becomes flesh. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You were never just a body walking through space. You are a consciousness projecting your internal world outward. Modern neuroscience has confirmed what ancient mystics have long whispered. Your thoughts are not passive. They are electric, measurable, and creative. Every time you think a thought, neurons fire in your brain, wiring patterns that become your habits, your expectations, and ultimately your identity. But science goes further. Quantum physics has revealed a stunning truth. Beneath the solid appearance of the world lies a vibrating field of energy and infinite possibility. This field does not respond to effort or force. It responds to observation and expectation. Let that settle in. The observer effect in quantum mechanics states that the mere act of observing a particle changes its behavior. In other words, the moment your attention lands on something, it no longer behaves as it did before. It begins to conform to your consciousness. Now consider this. What if every time you expected rejection, life conformed to deliver it? What if every time you assumed, "Nothing ever works for me," the quantum field, like an obedient mirror, reflected that exact frequency? This is not magic. This is measurable. The sacred code of creation doesn't require belief. It operates through alignment. Whether you call it faith, focus, or frequency, the truth remains. What you dwell on becomes the shape of your reality. Here's what neuroscience confirms. When you repeatedly think and emotionally feel something, especially when it's charged with strong emotion, those neural pathways become stronger. They become default programs. Your brain stops questioning the validity of the thought and begins treating it as fact. So when you say, "I'll never get ahead," and you feel the frustration or despair of that belief, your nervous system memorizes that state. You begin to live your future from the limitations of your past. This is why affirmations don't always work. If you say, "I am abundant," while your nervous system is still soaked in fear, there is no coherence. Your mouth may speak prosperity, but your brain is still playing the soundtrack of lack. Creation listens to your frequency, not your words. But here's the power hidden in this understanding. You can change the signal. You can rewrite the entire program. Neuroplasticity, the brain's ability to rewire itself, means your thoughts aren't fixed. You're not bound by your past. The sacred code was written into your biology. Your brain is not a prison, it's a garden. What you plant, water, and nurture becomes your lived experience. Now merge that with quantum law. The field of infinite potential is not out there. It is here, responding moment to moment to the vibrational output of your thoughts, emotions, and expectations. When you think elevated thoughts, gratitude, trust, awe, and sustain them with intention, the quantum field begins to bend toward you. You don't have to chase anything. You simply tune your internal world until the external world must follow. Its resonance, like a tuning fork, causes another to vibrate without touching it. Your inner frequency shapes reality without struggle. That's the code. That's the divine protocol running through your DNA. Even the gospel hints at this science in metaphor. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Not as he hopes, not as he wants, but as he thinks in his heart. That's emotion, that's energy, that's alignment. The sacred code of creation is not waiting for you to hustle. It is waiting for you to become coherent. When your thoughts match your feelings, and your feelings match your actions, the code activates. You become magnetic. You stop manifesting from anxiety and begin creating from stillness. This is not spiritual bypassing, it's spiritual precision. And now the practice. Close your eyes. Imagine a version of yourself who has already crossed the threshold. See the details, feel the emotions, hear the voice of that future self. Let your body experience it as now, not someday. Hold that vision for just 3 minutes. This is not imagination. This is programming, and the quantum field is listening. Neurons that fire together, wire together. And the more you repeat this practice, the more your biology begins to match your destiny. You were never just a participant in this universe. You were always its co-creator. And now you know, when thought becomes flesh, the word truly does become reality. Not by effort, but by energy. Chapter 4. Thought is the architect of reality. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Before anything becomes matter, it is thought. Before a door opens in your life, it first opens in your consciousness. The sacred code of creation begins not in action, not even in intention, but in imagination, the silent architect behind every seen result. Thought is the raw material of the universe, and when shaped with awareness, it becomes the bridge between possibility and form. In the eyes of ancient wisdom, this is not new. Proverbs teaches, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." But modern science is now echoing this sacred insight with startling precision. Dr. Joe Dispenza's research into neuroplasticity and quantum neuroscience shows that when you think a thought repeatedly, especially with strong emotional energy, it wires new neural pathways into your brain. the body begins to anticipate the future based on that inner script. If sustained, those thoughts no longer feel like hopes or fantasies. They become knowns. They become inevitable. And what you hold as inevitable, you attract without force. Your thoughts, when emotionally charged, communicate with the quantum field, not as requests, but as blueprints. Here's where the veil thins between science and the sacred. Quantum physics teaches that reality exists as a cloud of infinite possibilities until observed. Your focused thought acts as the observer. It collapses potential into pattern. And that pattern, when reinforced, is what hardens into experience. This is not positive thinking. This is conscious designing. Now ask yourself, what architecture are you building even when you're unaware? What thoughts dominate your inner atmosphere when no one is looking? What silent affirmations play on loop in the corners of your consciousness? Because those are your blueprints. If you carry unworthy thoughts, thoughts of lack, fear, or guilt, they become the scaffolding of your days. Not because you deserve less, but because the sacred code cannot be deceived. It does not respond to who you pretend to be. It responds to who you are in your core beliefs. And this is where grace enters the conversation. You are not bound to yesterday's thoughts. Neuroscience reveals that your brain is plastic, not fixed. You can rewrite its scripts. You can prune old neural connections that no longer serve you and wire new ones based on the future you choose to believe in. This is the renewal Romans speaks of, not as a metaphor, but as a neurological and spiritual truth. The mind renewed becomes the world transformed. But thought alone is not enough. The quantum field is not moved by scattered signals. Your thoughts must be coherent, your desire matched with belief, your vision paired with emotion. It is not enough to visualize abundance while vibrating with doubt. The field does not speak English, it speaks frequency. And here's the subtle art. Thought is the seed, but emotion is the water. A vision held without feeling is a plan without power. But when you feel your vision in your body, as if it were already real, your nervous system begins broadcasting that reality into the invisible realm. Your biology shifts from longing to embodiment. You cease to chase the dream. You become the dream. This is why Jesus could say, "Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Not "will receive," have received. Because in the field, time collapses. The future is not a distant hope, it is an activated vibration. So if thought is the architect, then belief is the builder. And your faith, not in dogma, but in divine intelligence, is the scaffolding that holds new realities in place until they mature into form. Let's speak practically now. If you wake up every morning and check your circumstances before you check your frequency, you've already submitted your creative power to the outer world. But when you start each day with focused thought, charged with gratitude, certainty, and clear imagination, you prime your mind and body to recognize only those realities that match your inner design. Your reticular activating system, RAS, the part of the brain that filters what you perceive, will begin pulling into your awareness the people, patterns, opportunities, and moments that match the blueprint you've installed. This is not magic. This is neurobiology meeting spiritual law. Your job is not to chase the how, Your job is to maintain the blueprint. Keep thinking the thought until your nervous system believes it. Keep visualizing the outcome until your body relaxes into its reality. Keep planting those seeds in the garden of the mind until fruit begins to bloom in the world around you. Thought, when elevated and repeated, becomes flesh. The word becomes flesh not only in scripture, but in the everyday miracle of manifestation. And remember this, your thinking is never neutral. Every thought either reinforces the old identity or unlocks the new one. Every internal statement is either a bridge or a barrier. So guard your thinking not with fear, but with reverence. You are the architect. You are the builder. You are the priest of your own inner temple. And your thoughts are the sacred chants shaping the very atmosphere in which your life unfolds. Today, close your eyes and visualize one specific outcome you desire, not in the future, but as if it's already done. See it. Feel it. Breathe as if you are already standing inside it. Do this not to beg the universe, but to inform the field. Then throughout the day, monitor your thoughts. Are they in harmony with the vision you set? Are you building or contradicting your cathedral? Thought is the first key, but only when held with faith and feeling does it unlock the divine machinery of creation. Chapter 5. Emotion is the fuel. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. If thought is the architect, then emotion is the electricity that lights the house. Your emotion is not simply a byproduct of what happens to you. It is a frequency broadcasted into the field, a magnetic signal that either repels or attracts experiences that match its resonance. This is why two people can hold the same desire but see wildly different results. It is not the desire alone that creates. It is the emotional state in which that desire lives. You may say you want abundance, but if your heart vibrates with scarcity, your field will return scarcity. You may dream of love, but if your emotional set point is fear or unworthiness, your energy will only attract lessons, not love. Emotion is the language of the body, and it speaks directly to the quantum field. While thoughts direct energy, emotions amplify it. They send your intentions into the universe with the force of belief. They act as the confirmation, the divine receipt, signaling, "I already feel what I seek, therefore I am it." And the field answers in kind. Let's turn to science for a moment. Dr. Candace Pert, a neuroscientist and pharmacologist, found that emotions are not just fleeting feelings, they are biochemical events. Each emotion releases peptides that affect every cell in your body, literally instructing them on how to be. When you feel joy, love, or gratitude, your body enters a state of coherence. Your cells communicate more effectively. Your immune system strengthens. Your heart rate stabilizes. And most importantly, your electromagnetic field expands, becoming more orderly. The HeartMath Institute confirms this. When you enter elevated emotional states like appreciation, the heart emits a harmonious electromagnetic signal that can be measured feet beyond your body. This signal influences not just your biology, but also the energetic field around you. It's the sacred transmission that tells creation, "This is who I am. This is what I receive." You are not waiting for your emotions to change because your life changed. Your life will change when your emotions change. Emotion must precede the event. It's easy to feel gratitude after the miracle, but the sacred code demands you feel it before, not because you're deluding yourself, but because your feeling is the creative command. Now let's return to a subtle biblical truth. In the story of the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' robe, she said to herself, "If I just touch his garment, I will be healed." But what moved the power wasn't her touch, it was the feeling of faith. Jesus turned and said, "Your faith has made you whole. Not your words, not your actions, but your inner certainty." Faith in its truest form is not just belief. It is a sustained emotional alignment with the unseen. It is holding joy for what is not yet visible. It is loving the promise before it materializes. This is what emotion does when it is sacredly tuned. It collapses the distance between now and not yet. Emotion also determines the quality of what you receive. You can manifest from fear and you'll receive in chaos. You can create from stress and you'll attract more to stress about. But when you manifest from peace, from wholeness, from joy, then what comes to you arrives without struggle, and your receiving becomes an extension of your resting. Your emotion is also contagious. You've felt this before. Walk into a room where someone is anxious and your body tightens. Stand beside someone overflowing with gratitude and your spirit lifts. Why? Because your emotional field is felt. It is sensed. It is a vibrational signal silently shaping the world around you. This is why the work is internal first. You must feel it before you see it. Not just to attract it, but to become capable of holding it. The dream you desire has a frequency, and until your body and emotions match that frequency, the universe withholds not to punish, but to protect. You cannot sustain a reality that your emotional system rejects, so the work is not to force the outside to change. The sacred work is to rewire the internal instrument so it can play the melody of the life you long for. And yes, this takes discipline, but more than that, it takes devotion. It takes choosing joy when it would be easier to repeat the past. It takes calling peace into your body before the outcome justifies it. It takes loving your future as if it already lives within you. Because in truth, it does. Let us be very clear. Your emotions are not random. They are programmable. They are plastic, like the brain. With consistent practice, you can teach your body to feel gratitude daily, no matter what is happening externally. And when you do, the external begins to match your internal rhythm. So how do you begin? You start small, with micro moments of gratitude, with visualizations that pull tears of joy from your eyes, with breathwork that slows the chaos and invites stillness, with scripture or words that remind you, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." You rejoice before the harvest. You rejoice because the act of rejoicing plants the seed. Each morning, before picking up your phone or speaking a word, place your hand on your heart. Breathe slowly and deeply. Recall a moment you felt deeply loved or powerfully grateful. Let the emotion swell within you. Feel it until your entire body vibrates with the signal. Then hold the vision of what you're creating and marry it to that feeling. Do this not as a technique, but as a ceremony. This is your altar. Your feeling is your offering, and the universe the sacred field of God's intelligence, always receives what is given in truth and returns it multiplied. Emotion is not weakness. Emotion is sacred technology. It is the fuel that moves heaven on earth. Chapter 6. The Sacred Pause, Stillness Before Manifestation. Be still and know that I am God. Before the seed breaks through the soil, there is stillness. Before the tide shifts, there is a moment of silence on the shore. And before manifestation erupts into form, there is a sacred pause, a space not of doing, but of being. In the language of the sacred code of creation, this pause is not emptiness, it is gestation. It is the womb where unseen realities are knitted together in silence. It is the moment the field listens deeply to your being before echoing back with physical form. Many abandon the process here. They speak the intention, feel the emotion, but when no immediate result appears, fear begins to whisper, "It's not working." But creation is never instant in the dimension of matter. It is instant only in the field. And the field speaks through time, not outside of it. It is in this pause, this delay, that your faith is sculpted and your frequency refined. Quantum physics teaches us that all possibilities already exist in what's called the quantum field. An invisible realm of pure potential. Every version of you, healthy, wealthy, joyful, loved, exists simultaneously as a wave function, but it is your focus, attention, and state of being that collapses that wave into a specific particle, a tangible reality. So what determines when the wave collapses? Stillness. Stillness is not passive. It is the greatest act of faith. It is the sacred stance of knowing that what you have asked for is already in motion, even if you can't see it yet. Think of Jesus sleeping during the storm on the Sea of Galilee. While his disciples panicked, he rested. He did not fight the waves. He trusted the power already within him. And from that stillness, he stood and spoke peace, not as a command born of fear, but as an extension of his inner calm. When you rest in that same trust, you too become the voice that stills the storm, not just in your external world, but in your own nervous system. Neuroscience reveals that when we enter states of stillness, like meditation or prayer, the brain begins to shift from beta, stress waves, to alpha and theta waves. In these states, the mind becomes receptive, the body relaxes, the heart rate synchronizes with the breath. In this space, your subconscious becomes programmable, ready to receive new instructions from your soul. And more than that, your heart and brain begin to emit coherent frequencies, harmonizing with the very field that governs reality. You become a divine magnet, and yet we fear stillness. We fear the pause because it holds up a mirror to all that is unprocessed, the doubt, the impatience, the control. Stillness doesn't delay your manifestation. It reveals the parts of you still resisting it. But once you allow yourself to surrender into the pause, you will discover its secret. The silence isn't absence, it's alignment. It is here, before the outcome, that you develop the spiritual musculature to receive what you've called in. If you planted a seed and then dug it up every day to check if it had grown, you would never see the harvest. But if you covered it, watered it, and trusted the process, you'd witness the miracle unfold. Creation is no different. God gave us the pause not as punishment, but as preparation. It is in the pause that you become the version of yourself, capable of holding the thing you're manifesting. You may think you're waiting on the universe, but the universe is waiting on you to match the frequency, to embody the prayer, to become still enough to receive. Each day, create 10 minutes of sacred pause. No affirmations, no asking, no visualizing, just being. Sit in a quiet space, close your eyes, and breathe slowly through your heart. Feel the breath move in and out, not to achieve anything, but to experience everything. If thoughts arise, let them pass like clouds. If impatience comes, smile at it and breathe deeper. Eventually, you will drop beneath the noise. You will arrive at the threshold of presence. Stay here. Let this be your altar. When you return to your life, do not seek signs. Be the sign. The sacred code teaches us that what you do in stillness determines what appears in form. Your stillness is the signal. Your trust is the prayer. Your surrender is the yes that heaven has been waiting for. And in this sacred pause, the space between intention and manifestation, you are not losing time. You are becoming timeless. Chapter 7, The Power of the Word, Speaking as a Creative Act. Creation didn't begin with effort. It began with speech, with vibration, with the word. And though we've heard this scripture countless times, we often miss its deeper meaning. It does not merely describe how the world was made. It describes how we continue to make it every moment with every word we speak. Your speech is not just communication, it is creation. When you speak, you imprint the quantum field with frequency. You instruct the invisible to take shape. In quantum terms, words are sound waves carrying intention. They collapse possibilities into particles. In neuroscientific terms, your words program your subconscious mind, reinforcing the identity you live from and the reality you unconsciously call toward you. And in spiritual truth, your words are prayers, each one either a declaration of faith or a confession of fear. The question isn't whether your words have power. The question is, what power are they releasing into the world? Casual speech, heavy consequences. We speak thousands of words daily, often unaware of their weight. We say things like, I'm always broke. I'm terrible at relationships. This never works out for me. And we wonder why life seems to echo our despair. But the sacred code doesn't respond to what you hope. It responds to what you declare. Every sentence is a spiritual signal. Every word becomes a thread in the fabric of your reality. Even neuroscience confirms that your brain listens when you speak. Self-talk, whether spoken aloud or internalized, creates neural pathways that influence behavior and perception. Speak defeat long enough, and your brain begins to filter life through the lens of powerlessness. But when you speak life, when you declare what is in spirit, not just what's visible in form, you reshape the world from the inside out. The speech of Jesus and the frequency of command. When Jesus healed, he didn't beg. He declared, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." Lazarus, come forth. Peace, be still. These weren't suggestions, they were commands, spoken with alignment, not desperation. He wasn't speaking to the condition, he was speaking from the source. And that's the difference. Most people try to speak things into existence from a place of lack, pleading for change. But those aligned with the sacred code speak from already having. Not as if they're trying to make it happen, but as if it's already done. Creating coherence with word and emotion. Science tells us that when word and feeling are coherent, the field responds. This is what Dr. Joe Dispenza refers to as heart-brain coherence, when the heart's emotional signal and the brain's focused intention match. When you speak, "I am free," but your body vibrates with fear, there's dissonance. But when you declare, "I am free," while your heart feels the vibration of peace, then you're no longer reciting. You're commanding. It's no longer affirmation. It becomes creation. Modern tongues, ancient law. Your modern words are linked to the same spiritual mechanism used by prophets, mystics, and sages across time. From chanting Hebrew in temples to reciting mantras in caves to indigenous naming ceremonies, speech has always been sacred. And now it's your turn, not to preach, not to impress, but to speak as the law itself. When you open your mouth, reality listens. When you speak from wholeness, the universe answers in kind. Today, choose one sentence, one truth. Write it down, say it aloud, but not casually, not hurriedly. Say it as if God has given you one sentence to create your life. Let it come from your deepest knowing, not your fear, not your lack, not your hope, but from your identity in the field of all things. Maybe it's, "I am abundance incarnate. I walk in divine timing. My life moves in grace. All that is mine finds me." Then be silent. Don't repeat it over and over, as if trying to convince the heavens. Speak it once with the fullness of your being, and let your actions, your posture, your energy all mirror the certainty of your spoken word. Let your voice not beg, let it build, let it not echo fear, let it mirror truth, let it carry the weight of the word through which all things were made. You were not made to whisper your reality into existence. You were made to declare it in faith, in alignment, and in love. And the field will not ignore it, because the field is listening, because the field is you. Chapter 8, Faith as Frequency, Believing Beyond Sight. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Before the form comes the frequency, before the manifestation, the vibration, and before the reality arrives at your doorstep, there must be belief, but not belief as mere mental hope. Faith is not wishing. Faith is wiring in the sacred design of creation. Faith is the frequency that precedes form. It's not an emotion, it's a vibrational code that speaks louder than words. And when that frequency is activated, the field reorganizes around you. Faith is a signal, not a feeling. What we often misunderstand is this. Faith is not just what you feel, it's what you broadcast. You can say, "I believe," But if your nervous system is in survival mode, if your subconscious is rehearsing doubt, the quantum field reads your true signal, not your verbal script. This is why miracles don't respond to desperate wishing. They respond to coherent conviction. From a neuroscientific lens, faith is neurological consistency. It's when your thoughts, emotions, and expectations are aligned toward a future you know exists, even before it appears. You aren't tricking the universe, you're tuning into it. You're aligning with a future reality that already lives in the field, waiting for your certainty to unlock it. The physics of belief. Quantum physics confirms what scripture has always implied. The observer affects the observed. This is known as the observer effect. The simple act of expecting or focusing on a potential outcome changes the outcome itself. When you believe in something as real, your energy collapses the infinite field of probabilities into one. Your chosen reality. This is not metaphor, it is mechanism. Belief is a creative force that encodes your reality at the quantum level. That's why Jesus didn't just heal people. He often said, "Your faith has made you whole." Not his power, their faith. Their frequency of belief activated the source already flowing. And when you understand this, you stop chasing miracles and start tuning into them. The subconscious belief system. From neuroscience, we know that 95% of your daily actions, habits, and reactions come from subconscious programming. If your subconscious is filled with limiting beliefs, "I'm not worthy, nothing works for me, I always get left behind," then no matter how much you affirm consciously, your energetic signal stays conflicted. This is why blind affirmations don't work. You must believe at a subconscious level. The subconscious doesn't respond to repetition alone. It responds to emotionally charged repetition paired with visualized certainty. If you want to rewire your reality, you must first rewire your inner circuitry. Seeing with inner eyes. True faith begins when the outer world gives you no reason to believe, but your inner world holds a vision that refuses to die. Hebrews calls it the evidence of things not seen. But how do you hold evidence of something you cannot yet touch? Through embodiment, through imagination, through aligning your feelings as if the desired outcome has already come to pass. As Dr. Joe Dispenza teaches, when you emotionally rehearse a future event, your brain doesn't know the difference between what's imagined and what's real. Your body starts to live in the memory of a future, and the field reading your frequency matches what you embody, not what you hope for. This is not mystical thinking. It's bioenergetic and neuroplastic reality. Faith moves through stillness, not struggle. When you truly believe, you stop forcing. You stop checking for signs. You stop refreshing the page of your life, waiting for proof. Why? Because you already know. The seed is planted. The harvest is inevitable. Just as a farmer does not dig up the soil each morning to check if the seed has sprouted, neither should you disturb the process of manifestation by your doubt. In the kingdom, faith is not proven by noise, but by rest. Even Jesus, amidst storms, slept. He knew the laws he walked with. The chaos outside never shook the peace within. That peace, that stillness, is the frequency of true faith. Step into your future knowing. Find a quiet space, close your eyes. Visualize a scene in your life where your desire is already fulfilled. But don't just see it, feel it. Let every cell in your body know this scene as truth. Then speak one sentence from that place. It is done. I am already there. Thank you for what is now real. And then, let go. Not because you've given up, but because you've arrived. Faith is not a performance. It's a posture. It's not yelling louder into the void. It's whispering from the stillness of the soul. It is the bridge between the unseen and the seen, the eternal and the now. When you carry that faith like a living frequency, reality doesn't just respond, it aligns, because you've stopped waiting for proof. You've become it. Chapter 9. The light returns to the lamp. There comes a moment not marked by thunder or celestial fanfare, but by quiet certainty, a moment when the seeker stops seeking and simply becomes. This is that moment you've walked through remembrance. You've peeled back the illusions of separation. You've listened to the silent language of the universe. You've tuned your frequency to the sacred code. And now you return, not to the world you once knew, but to the same world made new by the eyes that now perceive it. The sacred code of creation was never something to be earned or achieved. It was always yours. You have simply remembered how to use it. What has been revealed? In the quiet spaces of these pages, you've rediscovered that your thoughts are not private whispers, they are quantum blueprints, seeding possibility into form. Your emotions are not burdens, they are tuning forks, guiding your resonance toward or away from alignment. Your body is not separate from spirit, it is the interface through which creation expresses itself. And your beliefs, whether consciously chosen or unconsciously inherited, are the filters that color your reality. This is not philosophy, this is sacred mechanics. What Jesus declared, "As you believe, so shall it be done unto you," finds perfect harmony with quantum research, which tells us the observer is the architect. What prophets experienced in silence, neuroscience now observes in stillness. The rewiring of brains, the calming of hearts, the harmonizing of hemispheres. Spirit and science were never in opposition. They were speaking the same language. You simply needed ears to hear. A living temple, a living law. Now you understand. You are not a passive recipient of life. You are the instrument and the composer. The law is no longer external. It is written on the tablets of your awareness. Your life becomes the scripture. Your silence becomes the sanctuary. Your actions become the altar, and your being becomes the temple in which the divine chooses to dwell. And from this temple, you radiate, not because you tried hard, not because you followed the rules, but because you remembered. Remember that power is not something you wield. It's something you become when you align. The final echo. The final truth is the simplest. The code is not outside you. it never was. It's in the whisper between heartbeats, in the space between thoughts, in the stillness before speech, in the intention behind action. It speaks not in thunder, but in resonance, not in volume, but in vibration, not in noise, but in knowing. And it only answers one thing. Who are you being? Are you being the memory of lack, fear, and limitation? Or are you being the light, the breath, the Christ within, the frequency of creation itself? Because that is what the field responds to. That is what heaven echoes. That is what miracles align with. You are the continuation. This book ends, but you do not. The story continues with your choices, your thoughts, your quiet confidence. No more looking for signs. You are the sign. No more waiting for breakthroughs. You are the breakthrough. No more hoping for proof. You are the proof. Walk now, not as someone who carries the light, but as someone who is the light. And when the world asks how you manifest so easily, when they ask why everything seems to move in your favor, when they ask how you glow without trying, you'll smile, not with superiority, but with quiet knowing. Because you've remembered the sacred code of creation. And you are living proof that the word still becomes flesh. And so it is. Flesh. And so it is.